And this Sunday, I really want you to see what the church is built on. Okay? 16 years ago, really, wow, longer than that now, really 19 years ago, I was in seminary. I was about to leave seminary. I was about to leave the ministry. I was about to be done with this thing called church. Y'all ever had one of those moments where you were just about to be done? And here was my problem. Church didn't make sense to me. And y'all ever had that moment where church just, it didn't make a lick of sense. You know, people come to church, they're there for an hour, their lives aren't changed. Then why not go to the lake? At least you get a tan. Why not go play golf? At least you get a thrill. But I couldn't understand why in the world we came together and, quote, we were going to be followers of Jesus Christ. We sat in a service for an hour, but there was no power to the situation. I don't want to live like that. I don't ever want to leave and lead Hillview Heights Church to be a church like that. Well, the Lord took me to Acts 2 because I asked him this really important question. I was like, God, why does your church not work? You know, I don't know if y'all ever been in a church like this, but I went to a church where people always fussed and fought. My first pastor, man, they were all arguing. I went to a church, my first ministry stop, I went to a church that voted on toilet paper. I'd never been around such ignorant people in my entire life. I'm serious. The dumbest people I ever met were regular church attenders. People that had never seen Jesus, at least they had some sense. They would never vote on toilet paper. They'd just use it. Do you know what I begin to realize? It's not that these people were ignorant. It's that these people had been led astray, slowly, into a religion instead of a relationship. Now, what we got to realize, Hillview, you know what? There's one thing that can be worshipped here, Jesus. And everything else has got to be a secondary issue. Now, watch this. If you worship, you'll come up short. If you worship the teaching or your Bible study teacher, especially if you're in Murley's class, you will come up short. You got to know the teaching. Make sense? If you worship the preachers here, guess what? Come up short. Sometimes I get disturbed in our church when we spend all this time for 16 years talking about a vision. And as soon as we have to make some transitions, we have people just falling apart. Don't ever follow a pastor here. We are disposable. The Holy Spirit is eternal. And we'll just shoot you straight on that. Make sense? Well, just, I'll be honest with you right now. If the Lord said, Ayers, I want you to go to... You know, I want you to go to Bangladesh, even though you can't speak the language. But I want you to preach the gospel there. Guess what I tell you, Hillview? I love you guys, but I got to go to Bangladesh. Now, that would probably start World War III, but I'm going there, okay? I mean, we got to get that kind of attitude in our faith. Wherever God wants me is where I want to be, but I want to be in His vision. And we do believe that the vision of this church was given by the Holy Spirit. Connect all nations to Jesus Christ. Build a community of faith that's responsible and full of God's power. Share truth so that we get to freedom. We ought to live in freedom. We believe in healing here in this church. Amen. And we believe in health. And we believe everybody ought to get better every week. Is that fair enough? We ought to get better. How many of y'all are better than you were last week? Amen. Good, you're following Christ. How many of y'all know more about heaven than you did last week? Good, now you're getting the groove. How many of y'all are perfect? Good, how many of y'all are perfect in spirit? I'm perfect in spirit. It's a flesh that causes me a lot of problems. If I could just get my mind out of the way, I'd live pretty good every week. How about you all? Freddie, my mind's what causes me problems. I got a warped mind. Any of y'all got a warped mind? How many of y'all got a warped mind? I have thoughts that are unbiblical during the week. Any of y'all have those? How many of y'all deny it and just think you don't have it, hoping they will go away one day? How many of y'all have ever been tempted to do what Jesus said not to do? Yeah, me too. But you know what? I know my spirit is perfect, compliments of Christ. And that's why we have those values to live out with one another. Leadership's important to us here. Teachers, Judy, I appreciate all the teaching you do, girl. You know? There's college professors that don't put the effort into their class that you put into your class every Sunday. You know why? You believe that book. Thanks. I kid Billy Lowe. And I mean, who would ever thought that Billy Lowe, I mean, if you were one of his teachers at Warren East High School, you never thought that Billy Lowe would be one of the studious student of the Bible, because it became real to him. You see what I'm talking about? Does that make sense? It's real. We got to learn together. Those core values are important to us, to live them out. Okay, here's what I want you to hear most of all at Hillview. We're not just throwing out a bunch of slogans. We live this stuff. And you know what I find in our congregation? When they find out we live this stuff, it really rocks their world. It really rocks their world when they realize that we're really driven by vision. We're not driven by a bunch of personalities. I think it's cool to have the personalities here. But guess what? We're going to have worship even if we don't have stage lights. We're going to have worship even if we don't have drums. We're going to have worship if we don't have big screens. Because guess what? This church was moving on, reaching people long before we had all this stuff. Y'all got that? Steve Carter, that's what I want us to never forget. That this church didn't start out with a great big polished worship center. This church started out with an out-of-tune piano, a dead organ, an off-key choir, and a preacher that only knew John 3:16. And God blessed a lot of folks from that. Because it's not about us. It's about who? Jesus. I just want us to keep it there. Is that cool? I got all the confidence in the world in Jesus. If we keep it with Jesus, it'll all be good. Let me show you these five things I hope you'll be involved in. Excuse me. Acts chapter 2. I don't have to use the Bible. I've read this thing 100,000 times, folks. Your pastors parsed this in the Greek. This was my Greek paper, was Acts 2. You know why? Because I want to study Acts 2, so I took it apart in the Greek. I read books on it that hadn't been read in years. I went up to the third floor at Southern Seminary. This is back when it was a very highly, these books up there, man, highly academic books had been written 3rd, 4th century. Blew the dust off of them. Said, God, how did you start your church? Well, here's the conclusion I came to. Look at here. Acts 2 works. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Here's the apostles' teaching. Let me sum it up for you. It's Jesus' teaching. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the core of the faith. And it's not negotiable. The core of the faith is not what you do, it's what God will do in you. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're not loving people, you have absolutely missed Jesus Christ. You've just missed Him. You can be as holy as you want to be, but if you're not loving people, you're not holy like Jesus is. In Hillview, we're always going to be like, we're going to welcome you where you are, knowing that Jesus can get you better. Is that cool? So don't be surprised. You probably hear some colorful words around Hillview. Because we're welcoming people in where they are. If that bothers you, go to one of those holy churches. Go to one of those churches where you sit there for years, all by yourselves, pretending that you're better than everybody else, and pretending that's what the New Testament teaches. If that's holiness, I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Nothing. Because it contradicts everything He put in motion in His Word. Everything. He didn't set His disciples aside. He took them into the world. So when we as a church set our churches aside and say we're not going to deal with these people and those people and they're real bad and they're real bad, we've missed the incarnation of Jesus. Jesus walked right in the middle of Hollywood and it wouldn't bother Him a bit. He knows all the sin thereof, but He knows the forgiveness He has. Jesus will walk right in the middle of a corrupt government and show them hope. He did. It was called Rome. And He walks in the midst of another corrupt government. It's called the United States. And it's called communism and capitalism and Marxism. And Jesus said, I'm it. All your isms will fade compared to my what? Truth. It's real stuff. They devoted themselves to the teachings. Now look at this. You ready? We got to be devoted to what Jesus said. And to breaking of bread and to prayer. That means this. You got to hang out. You got to eat together. Jack, we do a pretty good job at that. You've burned some wood over us eating together, wouldn't you say? You've burned a few ricks of wood over the years. Barbecuing and eating together and fellowshipping. How many of y'all understand? That's a spiritual deal. Eat together. When you break bread with one another, here's what it means. The church was never designed to be a place where we come and watch. It's designed to be a place where we come and connect. I don't know about you all, but I love eating a good meal with people. I mean, that's a great experience. Good food and good friends. How do you beat that? Now, two things will kill that. Bad food and bad friends at the table. That'll kill a good meal. Make sense? How many of y'all have ever had good food and bad company? Yeah, I'd rather have bad food and good company. You know what I'm talking about? You can make it through that. But we got the best company of all. Who dines with us? Jesus Christ. Make sense? Well, they devoted themselves to breaking bread and to prayer. I can't emphasize to you guys enough how important it is for us to pray. Mark and Melissa, we're going to be praying all week long for McKenzie. We hadn't let up on those prayers. We got some other people in our congregation that they're dealing with some cancer stuff. We're praying for you. We got to get that real. Now, I'm going to tell you, church, I'm just laying it out where we are. There's a moment in this church that we can go way beyond where we've been, and God will do some things. But now, here's the problem. It's going to interrupt the city of Bowling Green. And most people don't want to go there. And here's the problem. You'll be labeled. You go to that church where people get healed. Gosh, man, that's awful, isn't it? Yeah, we go to a church where people get healed. So you go to a church where people get set free from drugs. I go to a church where people get set free from drugs. You go to a church where marriages get healed. Yeah, I go to a church where marriages get healed. I go to a church where marriages that have been involved in infidelity can be reinstated in wholeness. Amen. It's called forgiveness. And they'd be whole again. I go to a church where the addict gets set free. I go to a church where they break bread and they pray and they dine and they welcome people and they trust the Holy Spirit to do supernatural things. I don't know about y'all, but that's the church I want to be a part of. What do you think? Now, that's scary, man. Because guess what? When God shows up, you can't stop him. And here's what I find why people get scared. Chuck, here's why people get scared of God. Rarely does he agree with my previous answer. What I thought was right most of the time. Watch this. Here's what I found. Most of what I've learned in church, Jesus told me different. How do you like that one? Most of what I learned in church, Jesus told me different. You see, I learned in church to only associate with certain types of people. I learned that in church because they told me there was good folks and there was not so good folks. The Bible told me that there were not so good folks and we all needed grace. But I was taught in church there's some good folk and then there's some not some good folk. Charlene, what were you taught? Well, I knew you were because I got that from a Texas pastor. And Marley, don't look like you's left out. I've heard it in a Methodist church. In fact, the Methodist church believes if you're not real good for a long time, then you can fall out and lose the whole thing. Because they believe it's based on human action and not divine interaction. It's not about my action. It's about God's action in me. You got to be careful. You see, I'm just going to tell you, this is pretty crazy. Most of what I learned in church, Jesus told me different. Pretty cool. So I'm going to highly recommend, as your pastor, you really learn what Jesus said. Okay? He's really cool. Says some neat stuff. Like, why do you call me good? He's really a character. Jesus is not stiff. I guess that's why I like Jesus. He's not stiff. Church people, stiff. Pharisees, stiff. Sadducees, super stiff. And conceited. Jesus, humble, relaxed, never in a hurry, always time to talk to you. You got an illness, he can heal it. Let's go have dinner. Jesus, the kind of guy that would have dinner with a sinner like Zacchaeus. Jesus, the kind of guy that will take the hand of a woman with a bad reputation at the well. Jesus, the kind of guy that will hang around the prostitute after the religious leaders wanted to kill her. Like I said, Most of the things I learned in church, Jesus told me different. Jesus said, I'm a God of the hopeless so that they might have hope. Amen. Now, why? And he said, most of those who think they got it together will be the hardest to get into the kingdom. Be careful about living too hard down here. There's a better life coming. Amen. And that one lasts forever. So embrace it. Well, that's what we got to do together, guys. Look, he said, everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Man, I praise God. And doctors, we got a lot of doctors in this congregation, medical doctors. Man, I love you guys. Man, I am so glad that you got all the training of science. Because I don't think science contradicts the Bible. I think it fulfills it. It's just a discovery of what's already been put in motion. And guess what? You know, A lot of our doctors here, man, they're praying with you. I heard about that this week in an emergency situation. One of our members says, you know how good it was that one of the emergency room doctors leans down to my ear and prays in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I knew he knew medically what was going on, but I knew spiritually who had a hold of him. He said, that'll build your confidence. Isn't that neat? I'm glad we got this kind of doctors in town. The healing. Look, everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and guess what? Watch this. And had everything in common. I hope that we would come together on this. You know, in the year of 07, we got to get on this children's building thing. And I hope every one of us want to come together for the next generation. We haven't done that yet, and that's okay. I'm not going to fuss at you. Let me make you a promise here at Hillview. I will never spend my time in my life, what short days I have here, yelling at a congregation to build a building. I'm just not going to do it. Mr. Martins knows that. I told him I'm not going to do that ever. Andy knows that. Andy and I kind of, he said, well, you got to get them to give money. I said, you know what? Here's my theory. If the love of Jesus won't get you to give you money, it's really an indication of what you're in love with.
Amen.
And so every time the offering bag passed by, what you have to say to yourself is, I don't love Jesus that much.
Amen.
You can go to heaven and deal with giving Jesus $2 a week. Have a good time. If we see you. But my salvation ain't that cheap.
Amen.
My salvation ain't like a cheap beer. Lord, some of you have paid more for a beer than you will your worship experience. What's it now, $4? I mean, not that anybody would know. I see it posted up at the restaurants. You know, it says it in the menu. I've looked at the menu. Huh? No, I'm really thinking about it. How many of y'all realize that there most people pay more for a movie than they do moving the kingdom of God forward? I mean, these high schoolers, man, I sweat it out for them. It's like $30 to go on a date anymore. I mean, you go to McDonald's, and if your date supersizes anything, you're out $15. You know, Blake, back when I was dating and I took your mama to McDonald's, you know, the value meal was the only meal available, right? You know? And I remember when you could get 25-cent cheeseburgers. Praise God. Sweet, right? Yeah. That's not going to happen anymore. But y'all see what I'm talking about? It's the love of God. Now guess what? I hope a whole bunch of you don't leave, but I am going to teach this. I want us to learn to tithe. And this has nothing to do with money. Which is a whole new concept I want you to see. You really need to tithe the big five. How much time am I giving in worship? And what kind of attitude am I giving to worship? How much time do I give to study? How much time of my life do I give to building some healthy relationships that are godly relationships? How much time do I give to using my gifts, my talents, to move something forward in the kingdom of God? And how much of my time do I really give to prayer? It figures out this. If you're going to tithe your time, you need to invest at least 16.8 hours a week in your faith. I can tell you this right now. If you'll invest 16.8 hours in your faith development, you will grow. Watch this. If I was to tell you this, if you spent 16.8 hours exercising your body a week, would your body change? Could I make that a guarantee? Now, you can't do like I do. And you especially can't work out like Pastor Keith does.
Amen.
You can't stand there in a gym and just drink coffee. I'm talking literally, if you exercised for 16.8 hours a week, what would happen to your body? Okay, what would happen to your spiritual being if you involved it for 16.8 hours a week in worship, in prayer, in biblical teaching, in developing healthy relationships, and in serving and giving God? What would happen to your deal? There's your rehab program. You said, but it ain't got 12 steps. No, it's got 5 experiences that connect right into the 12 steps. It's a deliverance program. You will be delivered from stuff that will kill you. And it's also a delivery program. And things that bring you to life will be delivered to you. Cool? I'm finished today. Has everybody got this? Y'all give me a head nod. Mark, you give me a head nod. We're rolling. Kenzie going to be all right. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
How many of y'all, this faith, is that real? We had a couple of our brothers this week. We had one of my brothers, man, been hanging out in this congregation since we started. He had a heart attack this week. Friday I went by, he looked at me and I said, man, aren't you glad? He said, man, I'm glad you preached Jesus. He said, I'm 48. I said, I'm trailing right behind you. Guess what, folks? It can happen. Now, I don't say that to, I'm not saying that to scare you. I am telling you the truth. And people ask me all the time, they say, why are you so hyper, Ayers? Why are you so intense? You really want to know? There's not a week that goes by we don't miss a cancer diagnosis. There's not a week that goes by we don't go to the funeral home. There's not a week that goes by that we don't see some marriage crash by infidelity. There's not a week that goes by that we don't see the results of sin crushing human beings. Not a week that goes by. I can guarantee you, Mark Cain, I'm going to be a prophet. I guarantee you this week, somewhere in the life of the Hillview Heights staff, we will deal with sexual immorality, we will deal with death, and we'll confront disease. Now, we're not going to get rid of all of that. But guess what? Guess what? Let me put it in this context. You will get rid of all of that when you come into Jesus Christ because you're going to be in heaven and none of that's going to be in heaven. But while we're here on earth, we got to get through that.
Amen.
And God restores and repairs people. Make sense?
Amen.
And so, I'm being that honest. And guess what I know? Watch this. I want to share the pastor's heart for just a minute. I want you to know at 8 o'clock, I love you guys. You all have been rugged, man. You've been faithful. I want to compliment you for that. But guess what? My heart's broken every 8 o'clock service because there's a lot of empty seats in here. I'm not talking about today. I know it's rained and that keeps people in Bowling Green still for hours unless they're going to buy a lottery ticket. You know, Chris Allen said that it might snow in the next 3 weeks and they bought Kroger out already. You know, Houchins, Kroger, IGA, they're gone, okay? I've lived here all my life and been snowed in for one day, one time, Barry. And that was in 1978-79, the real bad snow. And we've had flurries ever since. But are y'all getting this groove? 8 o'clock, guys, listen, I want to tell y'all too. Listen, some of you that are a little more seasoned in your life, I want you all to quit assuming that your friends in their 50s and their 60s and their 70s are saved. That's a bad bet. I'm going to tell you what, one of the toughest areas to move in is older adults. You know why? Everybody thinks when you get gray hair, you've been saved. I promise you they do. You know how many times your pastor's been in the hospital with an 80-year-old man, grabbed his hand, been in church all of his life and said, brother, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have your sins been forgiven? Have you truly had an encounter with Jesus? And guess what they tell me? I said, preacher, nobody's ever put it to me that straight. I said, you mean you've been in a church for 60 years of your life and lived there unsaved? He said, absolutely. I heard how to get to Jesus, but he said, I ain't never had no preacher ever square me up. Because we live in the tail end of the 20th century, and we wanted to make sure that everybody came to what? Church. So here's what the preachers did. They got together. We had a big preachers' meeting. About 1960, we decided, well, if we don't offend anybody, then more people will come to what? Huh? I'm telling you the truth. I'm letting the secret out of the bag. So we decided, hey, let's get these techniques where we don't offend anybody. The problem with that is, guess what? We have a whole lot of people coming to church, but I'm not sure we have a whole lot of people going to heaven.
Amen.
Because you've got to get a connection with who? Jesus. And I know I sound primitive and rugged and, you know, Ayers, there's got to be more to the church than bringing people to Jesus. Would somebody please tell me what it is? I mean, I've heard all my colleagues talk about, well, you all need to have your needs fulfilled. That's what we got Walmart for. I'm worried about your soul. Is it connected to Jesus Christ? Because if it's connected to Jesus Christ, then all things have been made possible in your life. That looks like that took care of the deal. Amen? And so we got to get real with that. So, I mean, I just want to encourage you. Bring friends. Next week, I'm going to train everybody how to share their faith. Y'all cool with that?
Yeah.
Don't skip that. How many of y'all have ever wondered, how in the world do I tell somebody about Jesus? Okay, next week is a training session. We're going to sing three songs or two songs, and we're going to have a little training. We're going to go to a pastor's conference next week. And it's going to be an exciting one, though. I'm leading it. And we're going to learn how to share our faith. The whole congregation. We're going to train 4,000 evangelists next Sunday in this church. 4,000. 4,000. And I got to tell you, I'm going to bring you into Deacon's meeting. You know what? Andy Bolton squared me up. Y'all know Andy? Stand up, Andy, just so they can see who you are. Now, Andy can't help it. He played football for the University of Arkansas. The Razorback. And they kind of square you up in Arkansas, don't they, Andy? They don't fool around. I mean, being from Arkansas ain't like being from Boston, is it? You notice they didn't hijack any airplanes coming out of Arkansas. You pull a box knife, they'll kill you with it. You see what I'm saying? It's Arkansas, Texas. You know what Andy looked at me? We were in a great deacon elders meeting. And we were all praying. And Andy looked at me and he said, "Harris, you must be getting old because you're really mellowing out as a pastor." And what are you talking about, big boy? He said, "Well, you just hadn't been real controversial lately." And I got to looking at, you know, at first I said, "Well, you know, we've got better management." Then I got to looking and I said, "You know what? We haven't stepped out in some ridiculous goals again." That's what Randy was really telling me. Once again, in 07, I would love for every one of you to connect somebody to Jesus. Now, I want to be real straight with you. Now, I'll get into this more next week, okay? I share with people about Jesus a whole lot of times, and guess what they say? No! I got friends that look at me and they say, "Ayers, this whole Jesus thing, somebody made it up. You are crazy, Ayers." You see, "I can't believe somebody like you, Ayers, even preaches the gospel." Okay. Guess what I tell them the next time I see them? "Well, you know, I'm really having a hard time." I go, "I know you are because you're going to hell. You know, when you go to hell, that's a hard time. I mean, I just want y'all to know. I mean, like right now, today, if I knew tonight I was flying to Duluth, Minnesota, I would not be happy." How many of y'all would be happy if you knew, unless you're from Duluth, Minnesota? Y'all aren't. I mean, somebody's got to be from there. But you don't have to live there forever. That's the good thing. If I'm going to hell, man, I'm not living to my full potential. But we're headed to heaven. I just want us to invite people into the journey along the way.
Amen.
Okay? Now, here's why I want you to invite people. I want you to invite people because they need to go to heaven. If you invite them to meet Jesus here and we get them to another church, that's fine with me. I mean, obviously, if everybody invites one in this church, that's 5,000 new converts. We can't park them all. However, I have done a survey, and I know some churches that have room for some people. We're going to send them to them. Make sense? And I figured you'd get all the churches really moving and grooving if you just sent hyper new converts into all of them. You know, just the people that have never been in church, and they just read the red letters, and they raise their hand right in the middle of service and go, "Well, Pastor, what about just loving one another? The greeter snubbed me on the way in. Who do they think they are?" Now, that would cause some real church discussion, wouldn't it? See, here's what I love about people that have never been to church. They don't know how the church is supposed to be. They don't know the rules.
Praise God.
I love it. In Hillview, we don't know the rules. People not cutting from the pulpit. Y'all just get up and leave. I love it. What do you do if it's a bad movie? I leave and go to Steak and Shake. Eat something that'll kill me to relieve my pain. I'm as human as you are. That makes sense? But guess what? Here's our promise from pastoral staff. We're going to do our best to live lives that are exemplary of the faith that has forgiven us the grace. I will tell you this. I want to be really honest. Nobody on our staff's perfect. Pastor Steve ain't perfect. Pastor Mark ain't perfect. Jamie, I know y'all may not believe this, but Dr. Ward. Only the issue of lying is the only thing we're trying to work on him about, you know. Pastor Scott, y'all may not believe this. We've actually seen Pastor Scott get hyper before. We've seen it. Y'all never seen it. Most of the time he's chilled out, but guess what? We've seen him. We're real people. And I want to invite us to be a real church. And I want us to learn how to tithe this year. Tithe our worship. Tithe our teaching. Tithe our servant and our relation building. Just invite people to come to Christ and it be real in their lives. And that's kind of where I am. Y'all cool with that? Give me a head nod or something. Come on, you got to move a little bit. Y'all quit moving. I'm telling you, y'all are scaring me. We're not that old yet. Come on, folks. You know what? I feel like God will do this. If we'll keep moving, God will let us move longer than we originally got to. What do you think? I mean, I really believe this. Now, I want to give y'all a great opportunity. If you haven't been to Encountering Jesus yet, I want to give you an opportunity to go to Encountering Jesus. You can sign up in the lobby. And this is not a commercial, okay? This is a weekend, a Friday night and a Saturday, that allows you to truly understand how all these big five come together. Pastor Scott leads this. Let me tell you, stand up, Scott, for just a minute. Come over here. Scott's been through this whole journey of Hillview. And Scott, thanks for sticking it out. Look, he's endured. many an episode at Hillview. All right? Yes. Now, don't leave. Don't leave. Let me ask you a question. Do Scott and I have totally different personalities? Watch it. Scott and I are how Hillview works. Scott ever get loud? Mm-mm. Not much, except the one time we saw him. You reckon I get loud? You reckon Scott yells at people? You think I can yell at people? Okay, good, good, okay. Different personalities, but we got the same heart. I want you to know that Scott's done a really good job. The past 5 years of his life, he has spent studying how the Big Five develops this congregation. He's written several hundred pages on that. He studied it in depth. He took his time as a pastor of this church with the investment that we allowed him to have to really study how to develop people. Scott can actually statistically show you that those who are in the Big Five are living a full and abundant life in Jesus Christ. The encountering Jesus kind of gets you, boom, started in that. You know, how to worship, how to learn. So if you've never been, it's a great time to go. That'll be next weekend starting Friday night at what time?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. All right. Thanks, Scott. I just wanted to see that, you know, this stuff takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. Isn't that great? And so, if y'all don't mind right now, if you'll stand together, this is our opportunity. This is worship. And you know what? There's some people today that are going to connect to Jesus Christ in the 8 o'clock service. Skylar, thank you for being a great witness today and telling people they need Jesus in their life. Thanks. And you know what? Today I'm going to ask you, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, why not today come right here and say, Lord Jesus, I want you in my life. Because guess what? Next week, what are we praying for next week? Anybody know? Next week, I believe God's going to give us if you all pray it. I want you to come pray for it right now. Next week, I'm going to strictly teach the gospel. Billy, you need to get some of your congregation here next week on the top end. I'm going to preach the gospel. If you got some to baptize next week, bring them on, okay? Next week, watch this. We're going to pray we see 100 baptisms in one Sunday. We've never seen that at Hillview. Not even at Godstock. Now some people are wondering, well, will we get out on time? I don't care. Gosh. If you got to leave, you won't be out on time, go to Living Hope. Jason will get you out on time. He's good about time. He was a quarterback. That's why he's on time. I was a linebacker. I'm going to hit you. Then I'm going to rejoice over hitting you. And I'm going to relish that fact till you get back up. That may take 2 or 3 hours. I want us to get out of the time. I want us to get into the flow. God loves us. And the day He loves you. And if you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, guess what? This will change your life forever. Next Sunday you can be baptized. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I'm tired of living disconnected. I want to be connected. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I know you've risen from the grave, and I want you in my life. Is that not the gospel? So let's just pray that right now, whoever doesn't have Jesus in their life, that they will simply bring Jesus in their life. I know some of y'all looking at me and you're saying, it can't be that easy. It wasn't. God had to send His Son as a human being to this nasty world where we denied everything that God said do, where we had broken every 10 commandments that God had set up, and God loved us so much that He nailed His own self to a piece of wood so that you and I might have the hope of heaven. That doesn't sound easy. And then here's what He said. Whoever will bring me into their life, I will bring them into my Father's heaven. And that's permanent. And you say, Pastor Ayers, can you bring Jesus in your life and still raise hell? Not the real Jesus. Because what will happen is you get the real Holy Spirit in your life. You get the real Jesus in your life. You're going to start walking toward heaven. Because now that's your only direction. Isn't that right, Mr. Jackson? I'm going to preach just a minute. But when you have the direction of heaven in your heart, you will be drawn toward that. And you start singing an old hymn, even if you don't know it. The things of this world will grow strangely dim. You might even sing this old gospel. I'll follow Jesus. It's one I sing all the time. I'll follow Him. I still hear that piano banging at Camp Joy. I will follow Jesus. It's been the story of my life right here since 9. Even though no one else will go, I will follow Jesus. And let's have a time at the altar. Dream with me a minute. How many of y'all have tithed some offering time at altar? You say, God, how many of y'all come to altar? God, I'm glad my life's grooving this week, but I want to pray for whoever's life has been. I want to pray that whoever needs a healing in here will be healed. I want to pray whoever needs salvation will be saved. I want to pray for whoever couldn't sing that they'll sing. I want to pray for whoever was looking at somebody else that they would see who you are today, Jesus. Man, you start doing that in the church. You won't need any superheroes because the supernatural will have taken over. Is that real? Jesus, you've heard our hearts. You've let us play for 3 weeks, really showing what your church ought to be like. So your altar's open, God. Those who need to be saved in the name of Jesus, be saved. Those who need to be healed, guess what? In the name of Jesus, be what? Those who need to confess and ask forgiveness of their sins, come and confess and be what? Forgiven. And those who simply need to just get real, in the name of Jesus, come get real. In the name of Jesus, come get real. Lord, thank you for releasing this altar. I pray now that the Holy Spirit will not be feared in this church, but it will sweep us. It will connect us. Lord, I pray right now for those that need to be saved, that they will be saved. Those that need to be baptized will step up and say, next Sunday, I'm going to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Work your soul. Thank you, Lord. Come on, church. Some of y'all don't stand there and been standing. Come on, tithe this time in God. I'm telling you. Let it be released. Let God call you back to those old days in the chapel when we cried at the altar. Let God call you back to those days where we had to push the chairs out of the way because there were so many people saying, God, you're going to do something great. Come on, 07. Tell God, 07 is going to be the year of my life that, God, I'm going to live you like I cannot imagine. I can't imagine what you're going to do, God. Can't imagine.